Okay, continue with the next category of mukta. Okay, what is mukta machmas gufo? Basically, anything that does not have a specific use for Shabbos, and it is not a kli, not a food, dirt that hasn't been designated for use on Shabbos, for instance. You have a sandbox for children. So that dirt is designated for children to play in. And it's not the kind of dirt that that they dig holes or whatever. It's very, sandy kind of dirt, like sandboxes. So it's okay to let children play in a sandbox as long as the sandbox has been designated for a use, for play. But stam dirt or pieces of wood or metal, money, animals are also muktzah. Here I think we have to spend a few minutes talking about what that means. Because people have pets, and me'ikar hadin, according to most poskim, pets are muktzah. In other words, a dog, a cat, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Sure, you can't pick it up. You can pet it, you don't move it. You're allowed to walk it with a leash. Can't pick it up though, you can't, you can, what's it called, schlep it along the ground with a leash. You can make it walk with a leash, but you can't pick up the animal on Shabbos. And if your children do it, you should tell them that it's also to do on Shabbos. However, there are opinions that say that animals that are specifically designated as pets, as apart from farm animals or whatever, are not muktzah. So there is what to rely on, at least not to protest if other people pick up their pets or whatever. There is an opinion that says it's okay, but l'halacha, that's not really the accepted opinion. So l'chatchila, a person in their home should not pick up pets or move them, and should teach their children the same thing. If the animal is discomforted, you have to pick it up for the sake of the animal. Then there's a place to be makel and to be mater, to pick up the animal to take away pain or discomfort from the animal itself. Yeah.
Does that include birds?
Includes birds, includes all pets. Fish, everything. The other ones have other problems of catching them or whatever. But domesticated pets in the house, they're not a problem of catching them, taking them out of the water, are also mukta. Aside from all the other issues.
Well, on a kibbutz, when they have to milk the cows, is there any heter to move the, help them move along if they're not moving?
What?
They're not moving to help with the
pussy. I know. And over there, the reason they milk the cows is to ease the cow of its tsar.
Yeah.
So we're talking about tsar bali chayim. So there is a tater. Right? Today, the places that milk cows on Shabbos are all done automatically. So there's nothing really to do. Okay, now, if you have something that normally is muktzah machmas gufo, you have a coin, but you want to make that coin into a paperweight, or a rock into a paperweight, or a coin into a medallion, so you're not going to use it as a coin anymore. So then, the halacha is like this: if you're meyached it specifically for Shabbos use, then it could become mutter. However, if you're only being miyached for this Shabbos, for instance, you have a stack of papers and you don't have a paperweight, so you get a rock from outside and you want to be miyached for this Shabbos to use as a paperweight, then you have to do something to the rock, some kind of maisa, shave it down, do something to do an action that would show that you are what's the word I'm looking for? You are designating it for Shabbos use. If you plan to use that rock from now on as a paperweight, whenever you'll need it, you're putting it away for future use, unlimited, then you don't have to do anything to it. You just have to have in mind that you're going to use it as a paperweight, and the rock becomes not muktzah, and you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. Obviously, if you plan to use something for Shabbos itself, it can't become not muktzah on Shabbos. If it was muktzah when Shabbos came in, if you had a rock that was muktzah when Shabbos came in, then designating it on Shabbos is not going to help. Because since it was muktzah when Shabbos came in, it remains muktzah the whole Shabbos. So designating it for use on Shabbos won't help. But you have to designate it either for that Shabbos through some action, or mentally for indefinite, for use. Therefore, you can have a coin that you don't use as a coin anymore, that you're using as a medallion, or as a lucky charm, or something like that, and that it's not mukta anymore. Okay. If you, not yet, if you pick up something that's mukta machmas gufa, or mukta machmas chisaron kis, by mistake, then you have to put it down immediately. There's no heter to, since you have it in your hand, to put it down somewhere else. You have to drop it immediately. If by dropping it immediately it will damage the thing, or you come to a loss because it'll get lost or whatever, then if you have it in your hand, b'di'evit, if it's going to cause a loss, you can take it and put it somewhere where it'll be safe. You can't pick it up for that purpose, but if you already picked it up, it's in your hand, you can dispose of it in a way that won't cause it a loss. But if it won't cause it a loss, you have to drop it where it is. Food or drink, even water, that's not edible by people or by animals, or even if it's edible by animals but there are no animals like that in the vicinity, then it's mukta. So food that can't be eaten, raw food that nobody eats raw, food in a can that has to be prepared, it's raw, basically it's mukta. Raw meat is mukta. Unless you have animals that eat raw meat in the vicinity, then it's not mukta. Water that's dirty and not usable for anything, not for washing, not for drinking, not even for animal use of animals that are available, is mukta. Pits that are not edible, or shells that are not edible, from fruits or nuts or whatever, are mukta. And we'll learn later what you do with them. If you're eating nuts and shelling them, or have fruit with pits that are not edible, we'll see the way to dispose of it. But the mice and the pits themselves and the shells themselves are mukta machmas gufa. Broken kelim. You have a keli that was whole when Shabbos came in, and it broke on Shabbos. And the pieces are so small or so jagged or whatever that there's no use for them. Right? You can't use them for anything else. If they're usable, right, then they're not mukta. If there's something you can use it for, right, other than its original use, you can use it as a bottle cap or something like that, right, to cover something, then it doesn't become mukta. But if it's such a small piece that nobody uses it for anything, just throw it away, then those pieces, broken pieces of mukta, even though when Shabbos came in, it was part of a kli. A button that falls off a beged, and the only use for that button is to sew it back on. Can't use it for anything else. Then it's mukta also.
If you have a dish that breaks, then the pieces become mukta, but it doesn't end
up. So the thing is like this: if you have glass that breaks in a place where children are, or in a place where people walk, you're allowed to sweep it away. Even anyway, you can sweep it away. But if you can't sweep, you can pick up the pieces, because that's a danger. And they were matter to take jagged pieces of glass out of the place where people walk. People will get damaged, especially children. Best thing to do is not to pick it up, but to sweep it, which anyway is okay, because it's tultum and atzad. And it's not really the tzorach, the mukta, it's the tzorach that you want the place cleaned up. So that you can do. However, if it's something that's broken that won't hurt anybody, like earthenware, right? You have a flower pot that breaks. The pieces are not jagged, they're not dangerous. That, there's no heter to pick them up. That, again, you could kick them away to the side, you could sweep them to the side, but to pick them up piece by piece, that you can't do.
If you sweep the glass into a dustpan,
yeah,
that's okay, it's part of sweeping.
It's glass, yeah, glass is a danger, and glass you can pick up pieces or you can sweep it into
the
dustpan.
For the chachil, you should just sweep it to the side.
No, you can sweep it into the dustpan and throw it away too, especially from the side, it's going to be still the same danger.
Is the button that falls off, could you, and like you mean that button falls off in the middle of the street to
okay.
pick it up?
So in the middle of the street, I mean in the neighborhood.
Yeah, the neighborhood.
So the same thing goes with the button, as we said before, with something that if the button fell off in such a way that it's still in your hand, or you're holding it before it became muktzah, and then it became muktzah, then it came off completely. Right, you went to a thing to button it, and the button came off, so it's in your hand. And you really need that button, and it'd be difficult to find another button that would fit. Then it has the same halacha of a hefsid, and as long as it's in your hand, you can take it to some place where it'll be protected and get it after Shabbos.
If it's on the floor, it just pops up.
If it's on the floor already, you can kick it over to the side, but you can't pick it up.
Something that you have to, let's say a weight, a dumbbell. So if you want to designate it, besides being a dumbbell, to also be something to hold the door open, so it has a dual purpose.
Right.
So is that also like a designation for...
A dumbbell is probably a kli. And it's, I don't know, it's m'lach to l'yisra on Shabbos. It's time because you can't do, you can't lift weights on Shabbos. So here's m'lach to l'yisra and l'heter, and you use it for the other thing, you can use it for, that's a different klal. It's not something that's m'lach to gufo. It's klisha m'lach to l'heter and l'yisra. And therefore you're allowed to move it for the heter purpose. It's a different designation though. Yeah?
Can I go back? Okay, I have two questions. One is...
Is how far back?
Yeah. A few years ago. No, we just said something about like the different categories of food, or whatever. So if you have this kind of food in your freezer door or your fridge door or whatever, so does it matter if there's more that's not muksa or more like... Or should you not have any muksa stuff in the door in order to open it on Shabbos?
Frozen food first of all is not muktzah by itself because it could be thawed out.
Meat.
Right. Frozen meat is frozen meat anyway, the raw medium not being frozen would be a problem. So therefore most things
flour.
What?
Yeah, whatever.
Flour,
like
yeah, flour is right.
Something like that. Like, you know,
if you have things that are mutter and things that are aser, the door probably anyway doesn't become a basis l'davar aser, and you're moving it not for the sake of the mukta, and there's mutter dika things there also, and you can't take the mukta things off, right, to move the door. You have to open the door with the things on there. It's okay. You don't have to take things out before Shabbos. It's okay.
So my other thing, like the thing about doing some kind of an action, so like a coin or something. So a million years ago, when we had Asimonim for the telephone signal,
so long ago, yeah.
It was a long time ago. My father had a hard time keeping track of how many times of Shalom Aleichem, the stanzas he would sing.
Yeah.
So I made him this thing where I put, you know, like the little kids have the little beads that go across.
Right.
So I made him without Simonim.
Yeah, that's fine.
For each stanza.
That's
and I asked if that was, then I realized afterwards that
it's okay, yeah.
Then, and I was told it was okay.
Yeah,
I didn't do an action to the actual thing.
Well, how did you do it? Did you put a hole in it? I didn't know that when they had
it. Just put yarn through it. It worked great.
No, but you did it forever. You didn't do it just for one Shabbos.
Yeah. No, I wanted him to have it for every Shabbos.
Right.
To have on the table.
Right. So that's fine even without a miser. If you do it not just for one Shabbos, you do it unlimited, then it doesn't have to have a mice. Then just designating is enough. So that's for sure okay. But putting it on a string and making it into a that in itself is a mice.
It doesn't have to be to the
actual. Right. That in itself is a mice. You made it part of something new. But you didn't need a mice. If you did it for good, that's a good example. That's and then those asimonim are not muktzah. They may be worth something else. Okay. Any other questions? Mukta Machmas Gufo. Now we'll go to a few of the other shaylos that we.
Is there a problem with the garbage? The
garbage. We'll get to that. We'll get to what's it called, Gerif Shalei. But normally, things that are thrown in the garbage are mukta. That's why if you outside have pieces of paper or bags that, you know, are not usable anymore that people just threw out. You shouldn't pick them up off the ground and throw them in the garbage. Just leave them there.
During
the week.
In a case like that, let's say it's outside of shul, sometimes in the kiddush show, things blow all over, whatever. So it's like a bees right there outside of shul.
Yeah, the biggest bees we've seen in the house.
Cleaning up after a kiddush in the
shul. So just like what's the same thing like cleaning up in your house?
Well, because then we're cleaning it up in order for Shabbos Shodas or for the rest of the day. But when we clean up in Eisner and we're cleaning it up for the rest of the day, why is that okay? Because cat will come in, that's true. They won't bother the attendants that long.
Why do they clean up, Taka? No, seriously, what's the purpose of cleaning up? So they don't have to come multi Shabbos and do it? It's disgusting for who? Nobody's going to be there.
People go by and they see it. They
don't get angry.
Yeah,
they're
going to pass
and
they're
all kind of things.
When the yeshiva is to be downstairs, they left lunch from one day till the next day.
And now we're upstairs.
Nobody would eat the yeshiva lunch. You know,
the second day.
Now you're talking to me.
The
I meant it's been out for a day.
Right. Right. So you get the idea. If the reason you're cleaning up is because you don't want to leave it like that on Shabbos, for whatever reason, then it's okay. If the reason you're cleaning up is so you don't have to come back Motzei Shabbos and do it, that there's absolutely no difference between doing Motzei Shabbos and doing it on Shabbos, then you can't clean up. In your house, the same thing.
You have to go back Motzei Shabbos anyway, because you don't clean it up, you're so dirty. You just clean up.
There's more things.
Put away your food.
What you do then is that this food shouldn't spoil, or the...
Right.
Then it's okay. That's okay.
So why is that any different than cleaning up garbage on the floor?
Because first of all, most of the things you're cleaning up there are not muktzah. They're not not muktzah things.
All the paper plates.
The food is still edible. The paper plates haven't been thrown away yet. You're throwing away now, so they're not. At that point, they're still not muktzah. Talking about things that were thrown away already, right? And are not usable anymore.
So if they were blown off.
Somebody paper copies and another guy's not going to come and use, so it
looks
already.
If you clean it out, nobody knows it was used before, they'll use it too.
If the paper cups are blown off, whatever, they're blown all over, so then they're also never designated as garbage.
Yeah, then they're still not muktzah.
So the garbage that's on the floor in Eisner, things like the cup.
There is no more Eisner. whatever that hall is, Eisner has moved. Yeah.
The trash, not the food and stuff, but the trash that's on the floor. So is it okay to pick it up with my hands?
What kind of trash?
Like plastic cups that are on the floor and napkins.
Yeah. Those are still cups and napkins or whatever. They still could be used.
Well, what if the napkin can't be used?
Yeah.
If it's already been used,
but I don't pick it up.
A used napkin that's on the floor. And nobody's going to be there. That's a ger of shorei. Yeah, better to sweep it up with a broom and pick up piece by piece. Even though I'm not sure if the napkins right away become muktzah like that just because they fell on the floor and they were used once. I'm not sure. I have to think about it.
I just don't see the comparison between the meals and having these on the floor to having pieces of paper that are plastic bags floating outside. And it seems to me that's similar to a talus. It's very much dependent on who you are and how you look at things. For some people, Having a floor with napkins on it is a meals would bother them for Shabbos.
No, but that's if it's in your house. I agree with that.
Well, even in a hall.
But you're not going to be there. What's a meals?
Just the idea of it.
No, but that's not. Gerav Shorei has to be in a place where you're going to be using that for Shabbos. Not that you could avoid it. Go to a different room. you have a dead mouse in your kitchen, you're allowed to pick it up by the tail and throw it out, because that's called the Gerev Sharei. Now I'll give you an example. But if you have a dead mouse, right? You should all realize this goes on the internet. And then you wonder why people don't want to come and live here. That was also on the internet. Can you edit this? Okay. But on the other hand, if you have a dead rat in a room in your house, which you can avoid for Shabbos, you don't need to go into that room. Then you have to close the door, leave the mouse or rat there, and don't use the room.
You don't just stick up your house?
No, if it stinks up your house, then you can't avoid it. Then you can't close the door. So then it pervades your whole house. But we're not talking it's cold out and the mouse is preserved and it doesn't stink. And it's,
As far as cleaning up, like after a kiddush, is the safe? No one's going to be using it. There's no other reasons, but cleaning up on Shabbos, there'll be more people available to do it, and it'll make it so much easier for the Baalei Simcha.
Yeah, that's called hachana. That's exactly what you just described, right? In other words, so I don't have a harder time to do it after Shabbos, I'll do it on Shabbos to avoid, right, having to do it, what's it called, with more work after Shabbos. That's a classical hachon. I'm preparing for what I would have to do Motzei Shabbos, right, on doing on Shabbos to avoid having to do Motzei Shabbos.
Well, which way does it start? Because it's only going to be something you need to do Motzei Shabbos if you look at it as being muksa. But if you don't look at it being muksa, then it's not hachana.
No, even if it's not muksa, it's hachana.
Hachana is only when you need to do it during Motzei Shabbos. You start, prepare what you need to do Motzei Shabbos.
But
you
know, I don't.
If you're able to do it on Shabbos, then it's not something for Motzei Shabbos. You're doing it for now.
No, but I'm not doing it for now. Because now I can leave it. Right? No reason for me to do it now, unless I need to clean up that room because I need to use it. Or I need those dishes. But if I'm washing dishes, right? And I don't need them for Shabbos, then why am I doing them now? Because I don't want to do them later. I don't do them now because I need them now. But if I need them now because I don't want the house to be a mess, I don't want the bugs to come to them, so I need it now. I can't wait till Motzei Shabbos to do it. If I'm doing it now in place of Motzei Shabbos, then it's also. If I'm doing it now because there's a reason to do it now, then it's mutter. But there is no reason to do it now, right? The reason to do it now is I don't want to have the work Motzei Shabbos. That's called hachon. Has to be an intrinsic reason to do it now.
One reason to do it now would be that leaving anything, even dirty napkins in the food, have individual food on them, would affect all kinds of bugs.
Fine.
And afterwards,
it's
stuff that
it's not hachon. Fine. That's okay.
No, but that's
the
reason to clean it. You know what he said? It's all clean up.
Yeah, fine. If that applies, then fine.
If that's got a public building, nobody will be there.
What?
If that's got a public building, there'll be nobody walking in, nobody in the rest of the
shop.
Will affect
bugs. And you want to make sure that the bugs don't come there.
Yeah.
Fine. Not because it disgusts you, because it's going to cause the place to be. That's okay. That's okay. You want cats coming in there, whatever. And there's no way of keeping them out. You can close the doors and keep them out. No, but there are no doors. So